Hollywood of A.P. Giannini, this time on Culture File. In common with our guest, filmmaker Valentina Signorelli, you'll be forgiven for starting off a little bit vague on the Italian-American banking pioneer Amedeo Pietro Giannini. Although he's hardly celebrated even in Italy, Giannini was the founder of the Bank of Italy, a bank servicing early 20th century immigrants to America's West Coast. It later became the Bank of America. Giannini and his bank have a key role in inventing and funding Hollywood, from backing Walt Disney to financing the homes of the stars. It's a story Signorelli tells in her documentary, A.P. Giannini, Bank to the Future, but also a story of which, growing up in Italy, she knew nothing at all.
Unfortunately, he is not well known. I don't know why. And that's why we're also making a documentary, to make sure that such an important figure, not just for the Italian community or for Italy or the migrant communities to the US, but, you know, many migrant communities to the US and by extension, the whole American economy and history. We don't know why he's not well known, but that's why we're doing the documentary.
Who's your hero? My hero's a banker.
And this was the Bank of Italy, which was a funny name to start your bank in California. Or perhaps, I mean, evidently quite a good idea.
Yeah, but I mean, it wasn't just Giannini. It was the Giannini and the board of directors, and they were all Italian. So somehow, on the one hand, we're talking about the same decades where the stereotypical image of the Italian migrant starts hitting, you know, news and even early cinema. And so somehow they were deconstructing that stereotype, or maybe they were speaking to the Italian community in California. That was one of the most discriminated migrant communities in California, but also was open to everybody else.
That's one of the things you explore in the film, because you have this sort of central narrator character who's speaking in English but with a strong Italian accent and discussing just the kind of atmosphere into which Italian immigrants and immigrants in general arrived to America at the time.
Yeah, so our narrator is actually a fictional character. So it's a scripted part that it's performed by Giorgio Cantarini, who was the kid in The Gladiator and in Life is Beautiful. And now, of course, he's grown up. And we decided to include that character because when we started interviewing the descendants of the Italian-American community in the U.S., all of them always pointed out the names and the bad names that were used against Italians. And I guess the most common one was Dago. Which is a very offensive word, so kind of an equivalent to the N-word, but addressed to Italian.
You don't call it the D-word, though.
No, because I'm Italian, so somehow I have the privilege of using it. But interestingly enough, because I grew up in Italy, I had no idea about that. Whereas for the Italian-American descendants, that's a very offensive term to use. And we decided to use the word because possibly today in the 21st century, when we think about the stereotypical image of Italians, we think about mafia movies or con artists or some characters that are very funny to watch from the outside. But actually, that's the history of very long discrimination that is still filtered out throughout the decades and it's still present today in different forms. So we thought it was important to use it because the people that we interviewed used that. And so we thought, okay, that's the essence of documentary. It's an important part for them, so we're going to use them. And we know that, especially the opening of the film where we make a summary of the main swear words that were used against Italians and the bad names, some people found it offensive. But it's good to remember because the people that found it offensive are not Italian-American. Italian-Americans, everyone who watched the film told us, I wish my grandmother was here tonight, or I wish my grandfather was here tonight to watch this film. Giannini's first background was about agriculture, but I would say his main interest was innovation. So, and we can see that throughout his whole life. So, and for sure the film industry that now we identify as an industry was one of his interests, but mostly it was about an idea that could serve the community, but could also be profitable. And in fact, we see the progressive involvement of Bank of Italy into financing Nickelodeons and the transition to cinema theatres.
There was one project, indeed, that sort of started them into Nickelodeons.
So we know that Saul Lesser, who was, later producer in Hollywood, when he was a minor, so he was underage, he was looking for some funding to buy some extra seats for his Nickelodeon, somehow thinking that, okay, the principle of the Nickelodeon is that you need one person at a time to watch the film, but if he managed to get more than one seat, then he could sell more than one ticket to watch just, the same print. But no one would loan him money, first of all, because he was a minor, but second of all, because it was something new, and why would people interested in watching a film? But Giannini realized that it had potential, and he took the loan himself, in his name. And then we know that Saul Lesser was able to repay him back in just a matter of a few weeks.
And I mean, then it's too much to list them all, but he got involved in all sorts of projects that we know. Frank Capra, he was involved in funding him.
Yeah, we know some of the directors that were looking for Giannini's support were Charlie Chaplin, Frank Capra, even Walt Disney. The Disney studios were entirely financed by a loan from Bank of Italy. And then later on, Cecil DeMille, even Alfred Hitchcock, and so on. The interesting thing about financing Hollywood was setting up a model, a financing model that could make everyone's life easier. And so, of course, filming and producing back then was as risky as it is today. It wasn't any easier. So Giannini was, and the bank was, providing filmmakers and producers and actors with specific loans for and mortgages to buy their houses and build their houses in Hollywood, because the houses that you see today are the ones that were built in the teens and the 20s and the 30s. And so in that way, the filmmakers couldn't really, they reduced the risk for not completing the film, because the filmmaker knew that it had an impact also on their own house. And the second aspect that Bank of Italy was crucial in when we think about financing Hollywood is that the bank set up a specific financing model that then became the model that we're still using today. When he died, his personal assets were basically the same as when he started the Bank of Italy. And it was less than $400,000. So he didn't die as a millionaire. Because his idea was that, you don't need to have so much money to make sure that you can have a good life and be useful to the community. And maybe it's good to remind, anytime there is a right conversation about how Hollywood should maybe be less elite and be open to more diversity, it's always good to remember that it started out as a project made by by immigrants, and most importantly, funded by immigrant money.
Valentina Signorelli there on A.P. Giannini, and her documentary, A.P. Giannini, Bank to the Future, is due out later this year.